Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show on today. Well, I tell you, it's been an awesome, awesome, awesome week. All week long, we've been talking about the topic, very sensitive topic, but yet very important topic. And we are going to continue those discussions. You know, October is nationally celebrated as not only Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And there are many people who have stories of survival. They have stories of how they've survived. And many of them have come on the Coach Lalisa Show to lift up their voice and to speak out. So we just thank God for their life. We thank God that you survived. We also know that many did not survive at the hand of their abuser. Many did not survive as they were being attacked. We know it's a very serious issue. It's not just women who are being abused. We know there are men, but the focus here is on women, because women, there are more reported cases of women being abused. Also, we know that there are same-sex cases as well. And so all of this is a big problem. But I know that we can do our part and we can get this problem solved. This isn't too hard, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for God. And so as we've come out and we're lifting up our voices, we know that others will also come out and lift up their voice. And that's what we're going to do. We're pretty much going to shut down the devil through opening our mouths. When we keep silent, that's when the enemy can continue to work his plan. But the more we speak out, but we have to give women the power to do that. And that's what we want to be here on the Coach Lalisa Show. We want to be women of power, giving power, okay? And we give power to who? Those who lack it, those who lack the power to speak up. So today we have guests coming on from Cleveland, Ohio, in that area, talking about their Beyond Abuse project. Their project is, it's a conference, a symposium where people can come and get the resources that they would need to either get out of the situation or resources that they need to move forward in whatever way God has for them to move forward. They're going to be able to come to Cleveland and get that. If you're in that area and you are so led to go, we encourage you to go and be a part. Lift up your voice with others. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. So come and unite. Work. Let's work through this problem. It is an overwhelming problem. It is too big. It's a humongous problem, and it runs. It has roots that run very, very deep. Some of the roots are they're tied to other social problems. For some people, they've seen abuse themselves, and some people have been abused, and some have lacked, you know, self-esteem and other reasons as to why they turn out to be an abuser. Sometimes it's just the culture. Sometimes, you know, men are taught to be dominant, and they don't know how to separate it. A lot of people who are in careers that are brutal. They don't know when to turn it off. Sometimes sports, sometimes the police force, sometimes military. But in some of these cases, they've seen abuse on them. So we are here and we have our guests on. We got some people in the chat room. Good morning, good morning. So yes, all right. Great, great, great. Is it a recording? Okay, Yes, so we are live here. Yes, the show is live. If you want to call into the show, if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to do so. This is Coach Lalisa. We welcome you, to the show. And now let me take a couple of calls here and see who we have on the line with us this morning. We welcome you in the chat room. We welcome those who may listen via the telephone or the website. So let's take our first caller here. I just opened up your phone line. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Tiffany Ingersoll. I am from Cleveland, Ohio, and one of the Beyond Abuse authors.
Absolutely, absolutely. Beyond the Abuse authors and the book that you all have coming out, your brand new project book. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're going to continue our discussion talking about this serious, serious problem. We know that October, while it is noted as Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we have a lot of workshops and seminars and conferences and panels going on throughout the country, in almost every city in the country this month, you can learn about the devastating effects of abuse. And that's happening, and just like April is Sexual Abuse Month in the country, and it doesn't have as much notoriety yet, but it's catching on. And this month is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So at the same time, there are a lot of workshops, prayer breakfasts, conferences, symposiums going on this month as well. People are out doing the walks for breast cancer, and some people are, like for us this weekend, we have events going on for both. So we're going to be talking about both. So, Tiffany, so you're up there in Cleveland, and you are doing a great work there. You have your event. I'll let you tell us more about that in a second. Let's open up this other line and see if this is someone from your team, the team up there in Cleveland. Okay. You're on the air. Are you with the Cleveland team, or did you have a
hello?
Question?
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay. All right. I don't think that was someone who was a part of that team up there.
Right.
So, okay, say that again.
Yes, that wasn't a part of our team.
Okay, great. Not a problem. I just was checking. And so, you never know, from time to time, we do get callers that call in that are not a part of our guest lineup. So, but you're here, and so anyway, so this problem, yes. So domestic violence, I tell you, I'm not sure if anyone else is calling in from your team, but you are one of the authors in the book that's coming out, Beyond Abuse Project. So why don't you tell us, yesterday you read one of your poems. That was awesome. You have some poetry that you're going, you have your own book coming out as well.
Yes. Yes,
and
I do.
And you also, tell us a little bit about your work. We didn't get a chance to really go into that yesterday. So tell us a little bit about your work that, you know, what you're involved in, even beyond the Beyond Abuse Project.
Yes. Well, like you said, I am one of the authors of the Beyond Abuse Project. I am the poet for the book. And I do have my own book coming out called Light in the Face of Darkness. And that's hopefully going to be ready for purchase sometime next week, which can be purchased through Greater Is He Publishing. And I'm really looking forward to that coming out. It is just kind of conversations that I've had with God and how He has really shown me how to survive through something so dark, but to see his light and his power really just guide my path to restore me, you know, to his truth and to his love. So it's just been an amazing experience. I'm also a counselor in the Akron area. I'm currently working at New Beginnings Eating Disorder Center. So a lot of my work is working with eating disorders. And statistics show that, you know, about 50% of those with eating disorders have been abused in some way. Mostly we find sexually abused. So, you know, there's definitely a linkage there between abuse and then how a woman views her body and how there's such a lack of control from abuse that the only thing they tend to find they can control is what they eat or how they eat and what they do with that food. I've also been blessed to be a certified mental health specialist to do equine-assisted psychotherapy, which is we use horses as a treatment modality. So we're not riding on the horses, but we're having our clients interact with horses instead of doing in office, sitting across from each other in a chair. And it's such an amazing experience to watch how horses are able to pick up on what's going inside with a person. None of the horses are trained. They are just simply being horses. They have a great herding mentality, so they're able to bring an individual into their herd if need be or if they so choose. So it's just, you know, I've been so blessed to have so many things going on as well. I stay very, very busy. You know, I'm also do some brain training, so it's really working on all the skills needed to learn, and you know, so often with that too, there's such a low self-esteem, so working on self-esteem as well. So, but yeah, I'm also in the works of also writing my whole life story down, so that book hopefully in the next 6 months to a year will also be available for purchase.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work that you are doing and, you know, working with people who have, you know, these various issues due to some traumatic experience that they may have had, you know, in life. And just to give people back their, you know, again, giving people back their voice.
You know, absolutely.
Yes, I mean, it's just amazing. And so how did you get involved in that kind of work?
Well, for me, through life experiences,
mm-hmm.
you know, having been sexually abused as a child and knowing that I could be squashed, that I didn't have a voice back then, but realizing and kind of knowing very, very much intuitively that there was a higher power out there at the time, and I would pray as a child, you know, please, please don't let my pain go in vain. And so, you know, to see that come to fruition and to see how, you know, such darkness can be turned into, you know, just into the truth and be brought into the light, and God can use that for his good. And so, you know, he's really just propelled me into having a voice, into allowing, you know, him to just absolutely be my light and my truth and my guiding path. And so, you know, I've always tried to use my experiences to help others find their voice. To help others know that there are people out there that will help support them through some really tough times.
My know that there is life after abuse, and actually there's life during abuse as well, because many people do great things even as they're being abused, right? But abuse in the United States, it is against the law. And so abuse, you know, there's abuse, there's sexual assault, okay? There's so many different things going on that it's kind of hard to keep up. And if people are being abused, they need help. They need help. And there are ways to direct them to get that help. You know, they say here in the United States, a woman is battered every 9 seconds. You know, those statistics are very, very high. Some other statistics include things like 1 out of every 4 U.S. women has been assaulted by an intimate partner. Domestic violence is abuse against an intimate partner. You don't have to be married to suffer abuse. It could be your live-in spouse, or it could be your boyfriend. They have teen dating, and that is prevalent in the United States. This problem is very, very, very big. Now, there are also a lot of myths out there about domestic violence, okay? And so, are you familiar with any of those, or can you give us some of those myths about domestic violence? If not, okay. I have a list of them, but I just...
Okay.
Or if you had some, too.
You know, I don't have those in front of me.
It's
you know,
okay. Not a problem.
Yeah.
I have...
Okay, sorry.
Didn't want to put you on the spot there. Don't worry. I have some. One, you're right. One myth is that, believe it or not, Tiffany, with all of the deaths that have gone on and the many sirens that we hear in certain communities, any community really, people still believe that battering is rare. And they still believe that only some people experience it. But how rare when a woman is battered every 9 seconds? Every 9 seconds. You see, when 1 out of every 4 women will be assaulted, so not rare at all. So that's a myth. Another myth is that men who batter are very mean, scuzzy, and skid row types, and that they hate everybody. That's not true. Some batterers, once they've researched the batterer or talked to them, these were people who were very well loved on the job. They were very loved around their other friends, family members. Family members adored sometimes. Family members adore that person. And even in the church, they're well respected and loved clergy leaders. And so it's not true that the person, you know, just hates everybody and the person is just a mean, scuzzy person. No, sometimes they're lawyers. They're very sharp entertainers, very well-dressed, very well-kept. So that's another myth about abusers. And I was taking a class. Actually, I am a certified domestic violence advocate. And I was in my training. We do 40 hours of training here in New Jersey in order to receive that certification. And I remember there was one of the speakers was sharing with us how some people think that it's just that abusing is just about a person's anger. So it's like, okay, get them some anger management and that will fix things. And she was like, you know, it's not just that. It's beyond anger. He said, angry is like a person who is, you know, having road rage, okay, or a with their coworkers, they're angry with, you know, other people. But abusers, they are, it goes deeper than that, you know. The research shows that what's at the heart of these abusers is, and I can attest to it, having been abused and having, as I look back over the behaviors of the abuser, that a lot of it is control. You know, when I think about the relationship, how it first started and some of the early signs, is that this person is after control. Either they want to tell you, you know, what you can wear, or they want to tell you what you can say. A lot of times it has to do with that. And that was one of the things that, had someone had this conversation with me when I was probably 16, because my first real dating relationship, it was abusive. So at that point, I was 17. So I would have needed to have this talk with someone at 16. Or any time before that, but I didn't. That was one of the ways that the attacker came at me, was with this control over, you know, what you say, especially when you're around other people. They want you. They don't want you to say very much, okay? And then right away, when I was 17, because I left my home at 16, I moved in with the person, so I basically played into their hands, because I gave them more control, okay? And so that's why it's important to me to bring this topic up, to have this as a show topic, and make it more than just a day. It's not just a day or a week or a month. With me, it's all year. It's all year. Abuse doesn't just happen in the month of October. And so anyway, but... So, yeah, so those are some myths. Other myths are that battered women are always uneducated, lower class, or working class, or poor. Battered women are from minority groups who don't know any better. That's another great myth. Battered women are certainly from all walks of life, from every race and creed, color, religion. Batterers are from the riches of the rich to the poorest of the poor. They make up every group in our society. So that's another myth that has to be dispelled. And then there's a myth that says that battered women always look beat up, that they look abused and assaulted. You can always tell who they are, you know. No, that is a myth. That is a big, giant myth. Oh, my God, you can go out on YouTube and type in the word abuse and come up with many, 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 many videos that will demonstrate that that is such a myth. These women are prominent women in society. Some of them are very beautiful. They clean up well. They're able to, some abusers don't abuse in places you can see, and some of the abuse is emotional and mental, so you can certainly not always tell. As a matter of fact, you more than likely you can't tell. So anyway, this is why we want to get the word out, but we have other callers on the line, so we're going to open up their phone line so they can join in the discussion. Good morning, good morning. We have the phone lines are lit up. Good morning, area code 440. Miss Denise Jenkins, welcome.
Good morning, LaLisa. I just wanted to kind of comment on what you were saying. But first, before I do, I just want to thank you for setting a platform for us to have a voice. It's so important that this topic and this subject matter get on the highways and byways of the radio and throughout the nation, because you mentioned something about the victims don't, you know, look like what people think they should, but also the abuser
does not look like that stereotype person with, you know, the Huggy Bear with the hat flipped down and the long coat and the stack heels. He doesn't look like that. The abuser now wears a three-piece suit with a briefcase in his hand. Okay, he has a title and maybe a degree behind his name. So he's not the pimp, the normal pimp that, with the sunglasses and the diamond back, you know, the sunroof top with the diamond in the back. That's not what our abusers look like anymore. Our abusers look as young as 12 and 13. They come in the form of women as well as men. Our abusers, we were in a conversation at Cleveland State University last night, and there's an increase on children abusing their parents now, and I'm talking about elderly abuse. There's transgender abuse now because of the different relationships between men and men and women, and those abusers have such a fury behind what they do, you know what I mean, that when they attack in such a way and in such a level that it's so devastating to their partner, and because their partner are already in a relationship that sometimes they may feel a little ashamed about, you know what I mean, because society won't accept that, then they suffer in silence by their abuser. So, you know, the stereotypical abuser, he's not like what people think. He's not the drug dealer anymore. He's the John Doe. He's the blue collar worker. He could be your doctor. He could be your lawyer. He could be your pastor. So people need to understand that abusers come in all, the predators, they come in all forms as well, Elisa.
Yes. That's right. We said that was also one of the myths, is that people think it's this mean person sometimes or scuzzy person or that would be your pimp type. And that was listed amongst our myths when we were over the myths. So people, we know that you're absolutely right, that it is not just people who look a certain way anymore. It could be that look as well as any of the other looks that you mentioned. And so it's just what, you know, it said that all types of men can batter. Men who batter they're very often very gentle and loving, very neat and clean. And so that's one of the reasons that they can go so undetected, because people are like, it's hard for people to fathom that. Likewise, the women can be almost any kind of brown. You know, you can't judge in this case, you know, as in most cases, you absolutely cannot judge a book by its cover. And so now you were at, you all are going around, you were at the Cleveland State, what were you at last night?
We were at Cleveland State University. They had a round table and invited us in last night, and along with some community leaders like Kay Evans Gaines, who is one of our prominent business owners. She's a wonderful woman. They had Sandy King from the Witness and Victims unit in Cleveland to give her perspective. Gerlina Branch was with us last night, one of the advisors for Beyond Abuse and one of the collaborative writers of the book. Her name was Monica, and she came from the women's shelters in Cleveland. And then there was just a host of men giving their perspective of, you know, what they saw. And we were just talking about relationships and abuse and what was going on in the family. And we also talked about from the perspective of the child, because our children are suffering because they see these things. And the next generation is so off-kilt, you know what I mean? They're off-balance. They're off-centered because we have to step up as the matriarchs now, as the mothers and fathers and the grandparents, and put our families back in order, take the dysfunction out of our homes, and give our children hope that they can have a family unit that is thriving, that is holistic, that is loving, and take the abuse out of our homes so that they can have a chance to have that home that we desire.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, and I just want to let people know, as you call in or as you're listening to this show, we're here, you know, sharing this information. People are coming on sharing their personal experiences about this very, very serious, yet oftentimes very silent problem still in America, because a lot of people don't like to talk about what's really hurting them. It's the same sense that people don't like going to the doctor, okay? We don't like to talk about what's hurting. It's only until it all blows up in our faces usually that we have to even deal with it, and that's why it is such a huge problem the way it is. But here on the show, we're exchanging information and sharing our ideas and experiences so that we can become smarter and better and be able to make more informed decisions. By no means, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not here offering you advice and on that. We're sharing information so that you can go back and make the type of decision to have that holistic life, to live the abundant Christian life, to have happiness in your home or whatever religion, because when it comes to any kind of abuse, there's no religions on it. I just happen to be a Christian, so that's why I say that. But you may be of any other religion, but the problem is the same. So I just want to make sure that that's understood. I don't have any therapy or solutions, you know, to your problem. We only have information to give out about what has happened to us, what we've seen, and that you can make a decision. We have statistics to back up. The research has been done to prove what can happen in relationships when you, if you stay too long, or what can happen when you leave. You can still get your life back. What can happen if you happen to take out a restraining order. All of these things we have experiences with. So therefore, I just want to make sure that people, you know, understand. Now, some of us do have training, and we are advocates, and we're able to point you to resources, you know, Denise. But you know, I'm here in New Jersey, and up here in New Jersey, I don't know how, if you guys have seen this there in Cleveland, but here in New Jersey, we had two major cases in some of our abuse centers. Well, in our, let's just say, centers where women could go get help. And in both those cases, the woman was encouraged to leave her mate by one of the counselors. And the woman, she was not necessarily a domestic violence counselor, but she was a counselor, helping women get their lives back together, whatever. And the woman went home and began to pack to leave the guy. He comes and he kills her in front of her children. Now, that's happened twice in New Jersey. So it's been many years ago, maybe 10 years ago. So one of the things that, you know, we do here, we are in New Jersey, we are very, very sensitive about it. Just recently, as long ago as 2 years, right here in my home city, I knew the man very, very well and liked him. We were friends. This man helped me out, okay? Very nice man. Everybody loved this man. And what happened? His wife left him. She placed a restraining order against him. They had two small children, a four-year-old maybe and like a five-year-old or something like that. She was in the shower. The man comes to the door. The four-year-old lets the child in. He goes in and he stabs her to death right there in front of the children, right here in Hillside, not that long ago. And so very, very, so in here in New Jersey, I know things are maybe different in Cleveland, but here in New Jersey, as advocates, that's how we're trained to, we don't just tell people to get up and leave unless you have to have a plan. You have to have a very safe exit. And that restraining orders, we don't just tell everybody, just run out and get a restraining order against somebody. Because, again, they statistics show that a lot of the murders came on the heels of a restraining order, very close to one. Because what we're taught in training is that the restraining order is like a trigger to the person that you've taken a more final step of exiting them out of your life. And remember, since at the heart of domestic violence is control, basically what you've done is you've taken away pretty much all of his control. As long as he can continue to kind of come close enough to you to taunt you or do whatever, sometimes that's their fix. But when they get that restraining order, it's sort of like, you know, it's the last straw. So things, but it could be different state to state. And that's why I'm putting this out there, because we are a international radio program, and people are listening all over. So I'm talking to the women right now, or whomever is in an abusive situation, please check with your local county for help. And Denise, I know you have the national hotline as well. That's why people have to, you know, work pretty much, you know, region to region, state to state, because things could be, in some states, certain age limits on rape apply, whereas in other states, it doesn't. So you have to be smart about, you know, your life and taking your life back. Some people, you know, leave a state. So but we're getting the information out, and I'm happy about that. Denise, I know you're happy about that. So if you have that 800, I think I have an 800 number, but I want to make sure it's the correct one.
Right. LaLisa, the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 800-799-SAFE.
Okay.
The Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-SAFE. But and the SAFE is, it equates to 7233. So that's 799-7233. But let me help your listeners too. You don't have to remember that number. All you have to remember is 911. If you are in trouble, if you do not feel safe, if you had made the decision to leave, one thing from being a domestic violence advocate and support group facilitator, one thing we always tell the ladies, men, or whoever's in the situation is that you don't announce it. You don't let them know you're getting ready to leave, okay? Because leaving is the most dangerous time. When a person gets ready, has made up their mind to leave that vital situation, then what you want to do is keep it very, very, be very, very closed-mouthed and keep it to yourself. Only let those who are going to help you understand and know where you at. But to announce it to your abuser, what you're telling him is that I'm getting ready to take your power away. I'm getting ready to take your control away. I'm getting ready to disrupt what you think is normal. And in that degree, you cannot do it because of their mindsets.
Exactly.
You have to understand the abuser's mind. And for them, their mindset says that, you know, you're taking away something that I have control of. Because just like we know, abuse is the pattern of physically and emotionally violent and cohesive behaviors that one person uses to exercise their power and control over another person.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that even with verbal insults and emotional abuse, financial, whether it's threats or sexual, whether it's physical or even whether it's spiritual, those they use these things to control. And please understand, control does not start at day one. One young lady told me last night, it's not with the first hit. You kind of know what I mean? They don't come into a relationship hitting you the first time. They come into the relationship doing everything right, doing everything to make you feel safe, doing everything to make you want them because they're cunning, because that's what they do. But when you get into that relationship and you know it's not right, where your gut's telling you, you know, you should not be a punching bag. You should not be the person that's always wrong. You know what I mean? They always saying you're wrong. You don't have no self-worth.
That's
These people, these predators, they use so many things. They take so many things away. Even if it's taking your phone calls or separating, they love to isolate. If you look up and you're in a relationship where it's just you and him, and he done isolated you from your family, from your friends, from your job, from your church, you need to check your relationship.
Well, here are some examples of domestic violence we pulled down off of the domestic violence website. One, name-calling, put-downs, threats
mm-hmm.
to harm you, false accusations, blaming, driving fast or recklessly, pushing, slapping, inflicting bruises, strangling, pulling hair, pursuing sexual activity when the victim says no, isolation from family or friends, withholding of money. And I remember once I was doing a workshop on this subject, and one of the students in the workshop, after I finished the entire workshop, because there were both men and women, I was doing it just for a college class, and one of the social departments, they wanted to have a class on domestic violence, and so I did this, and the person, it was a man, at the end, he was blown away after I went through the various types of abuse, not just physical, not just the name calling, some of the other types. He was like, well, I didn't know I was being abusive. And that's why we have to have these workshops. We have to get the word out. Now, you know, why didn't he know? Only because that he had not heard it yet. You know, it says, how can they believe unless they hear? So sometimes you have to hear something, because it may be in his household or whatever, wherever he grew up around, this is all he knew, was to be that way, withholding the money. I would give examples of things like, you know, when a person, you have enough money to afford, you say, some any old kind of luxury. It could be an electric can opener that can make your life easy, because maybe you are a mother of a large family, you're constantly opening cans, but they won't even give you the money for that, and you're forced to, you know, use the handheld one that may be more tedious, more harder. So, but it would be that times, you know, 20, okay? So things like that, that is also considered financial abuse. They have all the control of the money. You have to go in, even if you're not working. It has nothing to do with the fact that you don't have a job. That's still control. So there's just so much, you know, much to it. But and when you think about your children, some of the effects of this violence on children,
mm-hmm.
your children will often appear sad and fearful, depressed and or anxious, aggressively defiant or passively compliant. They have limited tolerance for frustration and stress, isolated or withdrawn. They may feel powerless. They may take on parental roles, or they may have low self-esteem. So these are the effects of this horrible behavior on children. So yes, Denise, I tell you, it's great, great work that is going forth. You have other. other events coming up and you want to tell us about those or talk about, you know, other, you know, parts of this problem that we haven't touched on yet.
Right. Elise, I do want to just add to the signs of an abuser. We also know it's jealousy and that controlling behavior. But some people don't understand that it's that quick involvement. If you've been in a relationship less than 6 months and somebody want to marry you or engage you, they tell you that you're the only person that they ever loved, or I just want to be with you, all by, you need to slow it down and check yourself. If they give you those unrealistic expectations of you, you know, or if they blame you for all the problems or other problems, you have to look at, are they cruel to animals as well, not just children? But if they're beating up the animals, you know what I'm saying, 60% of men that beat women are cruel to animals. And it's a well-known fact. If their playful use of force and sex gets out of hand, not just the verbal, but if they do that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, you know what I'm talking about, for those who are in an abusive relationship, they're very always calm in front of people. You know, they have that quiet,
yes,
nice demeanor, but then behind closed doors, they're a raging, you know, typhoon. And then you have to check their history. That's why it's real good to slow your relationship down to know who you're dealing with. What is their history? Have they been put in jail before? You know, look at their family's history, because hurt people hurt people. And if they have not resolved things of their own past, they'll bring that luggage into the new relationship with you. And then just the threat of violence, you know what I mean? And even, Lalisa, the way you can tell an abuser is if they're breaking or striking objects. If they, every time you talk to them and they putting their fist through a wall, you need to check them.
Mm.
You need to step back and say, ooh, who am I really dealing with? Because if they'll put a hole through that wall, just think what they'll do to you.
Right. But some people don't even realize that they have rights. And so, you know, you have, as a human being, you have a right. And you have a right to not be hit or beaten or threatened or humiliated.
You're right.
Right.
And then, Lisa, God didn't intend for love to hurt. And I wanted to just throw that in there while you were talking about the rights. He didn't intend for that. Love is not supposed to hurt.
Exactly. You have a right to not be physically harmed or emotionally harmed. But that's your right. And that's why we're here, to help people take back their power. And you take your power back by taking your voice back, being able to speak out for yourself. And like I said, and I don't know how many people experienced it to the level that I did, one of the things that the abuser always did with me was try to silence my voice, because they couldn't, you can't isolate me. Some women you just can't isolate. Some women you can isolate them, but you can't shut them up. So everybody's different. Don't think there's one type of woman. We come in all shapes and sizes. But even the woman that is still appearing to be outgoing, she may still seem to look like she's on top of the world. It doesn't mean that she's not being abused at home, because we know there's so many other forms of abuse. It's not just a punch or a kick or choking. There's emotional abuse, mental abuse, there's financial abuse, there's spiritual abuse, there's psychological abuse, there's so many other, there's about 9, if not 12, they probably got 12 by now, intellectual abuse. So, you know, the name calling, the words are much more harmful. So it's easier, though, if you're just being cursed out and always told that you're stupid, it might be easier to throw on makeup and keep your hair done and continue to go. But you don't have to take any of it. You have the right to not be, you know, put down. You have the right to not be emotionally abused.
That's so true. And I just wanted to let your audience, you had asked me about some of the things that we will be coming up this month in our events and doing. But I just want to kind of let them know what the Beyond Abuse Project is. And it's learning how to get your voice back and live.
And that's so key, LaLisa. The Beyond Abuse Project, we as domestic violence advocates take the opportunity to use our own voices, our own life experiences to impact, educate, and empower others to utilize their influence to help save those who are still suffering in silence, because there's so many who do not have their voice back. But this October, matter of fact, Applebee's has joined up with us, and we're having a flapjack breakfast here in Bedford, Ohio, and that's a suburb of Cleveland, October 22nd from 8 to 10. It's going to be at the Applebee's right on Northfield in Bedford. That's next Saturday between 8 o'clock and 10. And then our annual event, I want everybody to save the date that's in the Cleveland area. It's going to be Saturday, October 29th. We have a full day, and this event is free for any and everybody. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. LaLisa, yourself, you started this thing with me a few years back. You were our first keynote speaker for the very first Beyond Abuse Symposium, and we did a half-a-day session, and now it has grown to a full day, and then it goes even beyond that day because we know domestic violence just doesn't end at the end of October. So that's going to be Saturday, October 29th. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., we're going to be at the New Freedom Ministries, which is located at 3476 East 152nd Street. That's right on Kinsman Avenue. But for more information, your listeners can go to Facebook and look for Beyond Abuse, or look me up, Denise Jenkins. And that's Denise Jenkins. We're on Facebook. You guys can just call us, give us a blurb on Facebook for the Beyond Abuse Project. And all of this is under the Sanctuary CEC, and that's our nonprofit organization. But we have so many different advocates. The Domestic Violence and Child Advocacy Center here in Cleveland, they've partnered up with us. We have the NUMA Life, which is an advocacy group that's training advocates in churches to give out information. We have Preston Pickett, who works for Cleveland State University and the Black Cultural Organization and Black Studies over there. So it's a lot of people getting involved in this because we have power if we unify, if we come together, and we can defeat this. Somebody told me that domestic violence cannot be defeated. I believe the devil is a lie on that. I believe we can stump this out and have healthy relationships, healthy families, and a thriving legacy for our children. We should not leave suffering and sorrow for the next generation. So we have to speak out. We have to use our voices.
That's great. I tell you, it just amazes me how God works, because we have we have our conferences and workshops. We also have events happening right here in New Jersey for those people. We're traveling there to Cleveland. I can't wait to be there with the project, just to see the scope and the magnitude of what God is doing there and the people's lives that will be changed. You're right. We're working with women here who are homeless. Due to that's what it means. A lot of times, if you're going to help in the domestic violence field, you need to be able to help provide people with a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave that abuser, the first thing that slaps you in your face is, where am I going? Okay? And that's typically the bottom line when it comes to helping someone get out. So we're helping people when it comes to that. They need money. It's not free. If you were abused, more than likely that person controlled your money. That's how they kept control of you. So unless you were raised up to always keep some hidden dollars, then some women were. Some were taught and trained that from their mothers. Some women were not. So some women, even though they have jobs, when they're ready to go, they don't have the money. And, you know, typically rent and stuff like that costs. Sometimes, the shelters could be filled. So it's important to have organizations like yours and what we're doing here in New Jersey so people can get money to pay rent. You know, mm-hmm. pack and leave, but where are you going? Not everybody has. And sometimes I know when I was in those abusive situations, every time I would leave, I would go to the places they knew to go to. My mother's house. They knew where my mother lived. My siblings' houses. They knew to go there. It's the first place they're going to go looking for you. So mm-hmm. I was a victim of stalking because of that. So you want to get people where they can get away for real. And then another thing that we're doing here is the training of people. People, if we're in that situation, they may have low self-esteem. They may not have job skills to get promoted on the job. There's so many aspects to this problem, you know. Children need things. If you leave, sometimes you can't take anything, nothing but your, you know, bare necessities. Got to start all over with what? So these are the things that we're working on, you know, is helping to people to get what they need to get to the next level so that they can go beyond surviving and become thrivers. So we are very, very excited about, you know, being able to use our gifts and talents that didn't get snuffed out in a domestic life. You know, just imagine, Denise, if, you know, people like yourself and, you know, people like Laura, who came on yesterday from your team, and Gloria, you know, utilizing their talents to help in this situation. Just imagine had, you know, their domestic scenario taken them out.
That's true.
They wouldn't be here to give back. And I look at Carolyn Thomas, who goes around the country, if not the world, the woman who was shot in the face and mm-hmm. by her abuser. And they, you know, took off half her face, almost all of her face. And she had to have, you know, a couple hundred surgeries to be where she is. You can look her up on the internet, Carolyn Thomas. A powerful story. I saw the documentary on one of the medical channels. Mind blowing. And because she wanted to leave this guy, and he came where she was, and I don't remember how the door got open, but when the door opened, he shot and murdered her mother because the mother, you know, put herself in front of her daughter
mm-hmm.
and shot and killed the mother and blew her at, you know, point blank range, shot her in the face. So, it's just, yeah, and so she goes around. She was known for a long time, the woman with no face. She's been on Oprah and just about every talk show you can mention. But,
wow.
Yeah. You guys, I'm sure she's been to Cleveland. You haven't met her yet?
No, I haven't met her yet. But it is so many. We have our own young lady. Her name is Johanna, who got shot in the face by her boyfriend. And she is a young lady, and he blew half of her face off. They were dating in high school, and he became very aggressive, very possessive, isolating her. And then when she decided to step away, you know, he went into that volatile state and tried to kill her. But I know our time is almost spent, Lalisa. I just want to leave this with you or with your listeners to let them know how they could help a friend who's in an abusive relationship. Just please let them know that it's not their fault. Tell them that, you know, you're sorry that it happened to them, that you're there for them. Tell them that they don't deserve to be abused or treated badly. Let them know that they have rights and options. They don't have to stay there. Let them know there's help and support, that in every city, there's safe houses. You can go to your local hospitals. You can go to your churches. You can call your domestic violence centers. There's places for you. You do not have to. If the shelter does not have a place for you, do not stop. Keep seeking refuge. Call your domestic violence centers and also call the national numbers. Call
That's right.
The domestic violence center hotline, which is
the National Domestic Violence Center hotline, which is 800-799-SAFE.
Awesome. That's great. That's good. That's good.
And
excellent.
Then remember on October 29th to come out and see us. We're going to have Melissa Williams with us and so many, many, many more at the Beyond Abuse Annual Domestic Violence Symposium.
Awesome. 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 Denise and your team, thank you, Tiffany, for coming on, sharing this hour with us. Keeping hope alive. So many forward to meeting you in person. Thanks for listening, supporting what you all are doing and the work that you're doing. Just awesome, awesome. Keep doing it. I tell you, we are excited. The book, we know we're going to have you back on as soon as your book is ready, as soon as you start, taking orders for that. We'll bring you back on, and the writers who have contributed to this book, the various writers who have their say in the book, we'll bring on as many as we can, and we just thank God for you. We know you're busy there, going to your symposiums and speaking on your various panels and conferences all month, so we wish you Godspeed in everything that you're doing. Oh, my God, just keep us posted. Everyone, have an awesome weekend. If you're in the New Jersey area, please stop by and see us at the Marriott Courtyard tonight, 6 to 10, and Saturday all day from 9 to 6. We are doing the Small Business Women's Expo and Conference. We have vendors. We have workshops. We have speakers coming in that can help you start your for-profits, your nonprofits, your daycare centers, whatever business you want, we'll have someone there that is in that same industry that can help you. There are funds out there today. Believe it or not, the economy is getting better no matter what they say, because you're going to make it happen when you come out and when you shop. You're contributing to the economy. The small business makes up 80% of all businesses in the United States, so you must support the small businesses. We're the ones that make this thing go round, and part of the reason why we got off track is because the decline in small business owners, and whenever that happens, the country goes into a recession. So get your facts and know what's going on. Don't just watch the news. You got to do some research. So the small business, we got to come back, though, but we're the same group that helps the economy spur back up. So come out. We're doing our part here in New Jersey. We're having a Small Business Women's Expo to be able to have some effect on the economy doing better. So come out, learn how you can also be involved with it, and let's watch this thing turn around together. How exciting is that? I think that's exciting. Anyway, have a great, wonderful weekend. If you can't remember where any of these events are, please go to Facebook. You can look us up on Facebook. You heard already from Denise Jenkins. You can look her up. If you look her up, I'm her friend. You'll see me, the Coach Lalisa Show. And we're just going to keep it moving. And we're just going to remember that phenomenal preparation breeds phenomenal success. So tune in on Monday. We'll be back with some highlights from the Small Business Women's Expo. Don't forget, we're also having our Flapjack fundraiser breakfast on October Saturday, 22nd, 8 to 10 a.m. And so get your tickets. They're only $10. Come out and take part in how we're helping up here in New Jersey, helping people get the training that they need to change their lives. Contact me for those tickets. We'd love to see you at the Applebee's on Route 22 in Union, New Jersey, right there by the Toys R Us and the Lowe's store. So we'll take care. Have a wonderful weekend. And thanks again for listening, for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the archives. Thanks for passing this show on.